Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. What a blessing it is to be in the presence of the Lord, in the congregation of the saints. We worship and we adore you for your mighty presence here this evening. We know so because your word says so. And we know it is impossible that God should lie. Father, we thank you. It's impossible that the scripture be broken. We are to achieve that together in my name. That I'm in the midst of them. Lord, we thank you for your great faithfulness and bringing us together again. Blessed be the glory of the Lord. Father, bless your word tonight as we read. Father, we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Well, it has been well said. If you want to know what time and God's time is, look at Israel. You know, well said. It was the prophesied also that in the end of time, Israel shall be in the news all the time, almost, you know. And we have watched it in decades. It's always been so. Even just as today, earlier today, we see that an explosion rock out of Israel, Jerusalem area. And what was it? I believe that Israel was conducting some air raids around Syria area. And I think the Syrian tram suffered the air missiles. They don't have any particular target that will bring down the IAF, Israeli Air Force, Air Force planes and things like that, you know, and there was a great explosion all over the place, you know. So, and of course, not too long ago, we see that, the Iranian nuclear thing that they are trying to do, 50 meters underground. So I think they sent some equipment overseas for repair. So, of course, you know, the Mosaic and Israeli and things like that, you know, when they were bringing it back, they smuggled a 300-pound explosion into that particular device that they sent out for repair. And when they got into the 50 meters down, when they got that by remote control, they detonated it and destroyed all the primary power supply and the standby power supply over there in the nuclear something downstairs and destroyed many of the atomic things in there, you know. God being on the side of Israel. International atomic energy, whatever or not, they are just moving on their own, you know, making sure that Iran does not protect this atomic power. So we see things are happening there in Israel every day. And what really, make us to be glad is God's faithfulness. The more terrible the enemy tries to do something, the more power give God, Israeli power, both in scientific and every way, you know. And so one just rejoices when you see God move for Israel like that. How much more the church elect, amen? It's moving for us. And it is preparing us, getting ready for the Holy Ghost, flight to meet him in the air. So, when you are looking for what God is doing, what time is God's time, look what is happening in Israel. So, to this end, by God's grace, I want to talk about Israel, past, present, and future. Praise the Lord. Israel, past, present, and future. And of course, that kind of subject like this, not something you can do in one night. Just go at the Lord with it. Most of the things I didn't have known before, but that's okay, you know. So, to us, he hasn't given us any allotted time, you know. All he said that it's all about Israel. Talk about the tense of the Gentile being fulfilled, you know. So to that end, let's see Israel, past, present, and future. We begin from where I started from 4,000 plus years ago with the call of Abraham. So, and the Lord said unto Abraham, it was Abraham at that time, in Genesis 12, the fourth verse, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So began the drama of the ages, God putting into place his plan and so forth, redemption. So without hesitation, of course, Abraham obeyed the law, took his family, took his flocks, 75-year-old man, right? If you want to call it a human talking, being displaced, right? But it was God's displacement. It's always a blessing. His flocks departed from the all of the Chaldeans and headed out to the land of Canaan. When he got there, what happened? God gave him the promise. He promised him the land when he got there. So, so this night, we're talking about in this Israel past, present, and the future, how God gave the land of Canaan to Israel and how they lost it. Like that's the phase we're talking about tonight, so a little bit too part of it, So anyway, so upon arrival at Canaan, the Lord again spoke unto Abraham and promised to give him the land. Genesis 13:14 says so, and I read. And the Lord said unto Abraham, lift up thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. Verse 15 says, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now again, Genesis chapter 17, God told Abraham that he's given him of the land, was a covenant really. I'm making a covenant with Abraham, And God further promised Abraham a son, right here. Genesis 17. Who God said that should be named Isaac. In the Bible, God gave name to many people before they were even born. Amen. Isaac was one of them. Praise the Lord. They were given a name before they were even born at all, Call his name Isaac. And that the covenant that God made with Abraham, I will pass on to Isaac. That is Genesis 17, verse 19. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. So it is clear that Israel's claim to the land of Palestine is based upon a direct grant from God himself, the creator of all the end of the earth, the owner of the land, the creator of the land, the creator of heaven and earth, gave it to Abraham. One time here we spoke about the mountains of Israel, and we were able to say that what they call the West Bank today, not the West Bank, is Judea and Samaria, that God gave unto Israel, So anyway, anyone who believes in the authority of the Bible today, Christian, and whosoever will believe the scripture, they will know that, it is Israel's scriptural right to the land of Palestine. Well, of course, when God was telling Abraham this thing, Abraham began to question God, in one way or the other. Ishmael was the first son, right? And Abraham loved him so much too, No matter how he came, but he was there, he was his son, so he loved him. So, at the promise of God to him that Sarah shall bear him his son even at their old age, and to who God will establish his covenant. So Abraham was wondering, Ishmael is here? Inquire of God concerning Ishmael. Genesis 17:15 to verse 18. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Ishmael was already there, So Abraham was even thinking, why another son? I mean, maybe we will get who part the covenant to. So anyway, I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her. And she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall his child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee, see? And God answered him this way, in verse 20. As for Ishmael, I know he's here. Don't put that one there. I heard it. Behold, I have blessed him. And we make him fruitful. See God before the world began. He said he has done it already, right? How old was Ishmael? God said, I already blessed him, you know. See, to him, the future is the past, right? Before the it's what we have done before the foundation of the world. See, praise the Lord. And so it's you and I, you know, even when we're being born again and so on, not the day we went to the altar and still cried. You know, you were chosen him before the world began. Praise God.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. So I have blessed him, and we make him fruitful, and we multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and we make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac. God made it clear that no confusion about it. I know what I'm talking about. I know Ishmael is there. Praise God. Talking about Isaac, you know, in your old age, I'm going to give you a son by the name of Isaac and your wife Sarah in your old age. And the covenant belongs to him, not to Ishmael. So, which Sarah shall be unto thee? You know, at this time next year. You know, so God told him that. And at the time that God gave Abraham the promise of the land was occupied at this time by what the people call the existing wicked people, the Canaanites, were occupying the land at that time. Very, very wicked people. So Isaac's seed was not to take possession of that land immediately. But if we short him, as it comes to pass anyway, the Canaanites were to be dispossessed of the land because of their wickedness. That's why I'm taking it away from them. Now, the Lord revealed to Abraham that his descendants will go down to Egypt, talking about Israel, past, present, and future. Go down to Egypt, get there, and be bondsmen for several centuries. I'm just summarizing so I can cover a little bit of ground. Egypt was to be judged at the end of that period, God said, and the people would be permitted to return to the land of their inheritance. All of this came to pass, of course, exactly as the Lord foretold it. God raised up Moses as Israel's deliverer at the time promised. Under God, Moses led the children of Israel out from Pharaoh's bondage into the promised land, Palestine. And as part of Israel's preparation to enter the promised land, Canaan, there were certain solemn warnings God gave them, you know, through Moses. They were indeed to go into the land and take the land. But the continuity of their possessing that land is contingent upon their obedience to the law of the Lord, the word of God. That is a conditional thing. For them to continue to dwell in that land, yeah, you get it, go and take it, but it's contingent. Your continuity being there is contingent upon obeying my word. So, the 30th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy catalogs this covenant that God made with Israel, of which you don't have all the time in the world to read it tonight, rather than to summarize it. So God promised them blessings upon the children of Israel if they were obedient. He will bless their storehouse, he said in that chapter, bless their children, the fruit of their ground, their cattle, he said, will bless it, the work of their hands, the heaven will give rain on their land in due season, the people will lend and not borrow. They will be the head and not the tail, and so on and so forth that God will promise them right there if they will just be obedient to his word. On the other hand, the same chapter, if they should be disobedient and forget God, many curses will come and will visit them. They will be afflicted with diseases. They will suffer droughts and famines. Their enemies will rise up and have power over them. And the oppressors will come from far and put iron yoke upon their necks. So the following verses of that same chapter speak of the captivity right there and then. They will go into captivity, part of the punishment that we visit them, don't follow the word of the law. So the following verses now speak of the captivities that will come upon Israel. So at the of a eventful dispersion, you know, maybe dispersed all over the world. And the terrible persecutions she will endure if she were disobedient to the word of the law. So we just read a few of that verses. They call it dispersion, their captivity and so on, very, very important in their history, you know. So and that's why I want to read a few of the verses in 20 of Deuteronomy 36 verse. The Lord shall bring thee, and a king which thou shalt set over thee unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known. And there shall thou serve other gods, wood and stone. and thou shall become an astonishment to them, and a proverb, and a byword among the nations, whither the Lord shall lead thee. The Lord himself will lead them to those nations, yes, because they were disobedient to the word of the Lord. Go to 64 verse, continue. And the Lord shall scatter thee among the people, all the people, from the one end of the earth even unto the other. And there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. 65 verse says, and among these nations shalt thou find no ease. Neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest, but the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart and a falling of eyes, failing of eyes, and sorrow of heart. So the Lord told them all these things just as they were trying to enter the promised land to see what will happen to them, except they keep the word of the Lord. And today we know it's a matter of history that all those things came to pass upon the nation of Israel. And of course, many Bible passages tell us of the apostasy of the children of Israel, see, upon all those warnings, no human nature, and the gradual decline, you know, as the apostasy now, need to decline. You know, the nation needs to decline. And okay, finally, the predicted judgment fell in its entirety. First came the Assyrian army, invading the land, and they took the northern 10 tribes away. See, the Assyrians at that time. Up to today, as far as we know, they never returned. And not too long after that, the southern two tribes, Benjamin and and Judah. Yes, thank you very much, bro. So, Babylonian army came and invaded them in a series of deportations. They didn't go at once. There were a series of deportations in India, but eventually they took them to captivity. And so they were in India. So it came to pass then that Israel seemed to be a nation. Actually, they were no longer a nation at that time, you know. So, but 70 years rolled by in Babylon, after which certain of the captives were permitted to return and to rebuild their city of Jerusalem. Thank God for raising up an intercessor in the name of Daniel. Praise the Lord. When he was in Babylon too, and let me read what he intercessory prayer in Daniel 9:2. And God raised him up. God is merciful. He set them there, permitted to go there, made a way of escape, but then returned. Daniel 9:2 says, I Daniel understood by books the number of the year whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes, and so on and so forth, you know. So God, just be merciful. Sort of intercessor like Daniel. The people of the two tribes of Judah and Benjamin continue to exist as a state even until the time of the Lord Jesus Christ. And those who return, however, and their descendants were destined to live under foreign domination. First, by one nation, we come, dominate them, another will come and dominate them, you know, but they were there anyway, but they were other foreign powers. Naturally, they suffer under the oppression of these foreign powers. Then, from such a time, the people rise up to oppose the invaders, that the Maccabees, they are called. The Maccabees, they are very heroic. And they succeeded for a while, in driving out the alien army. At one time, they did. But not for too long, but before 100 years passed, something else happened. Notwithstanding, during this period, Rome was steadily rising as a world power. And as she extended her dominion, Israel was among the nations that came under her hegemony, under the control of Rome. Yeah, the Maccabees for some time they succeeded, had them out. But before 100 years passed, Rome was expanding its authoritarian thing all over the world, and Israel fell under their control. So now, what is the hope for Israel? Describes. They are the people that meticulously copy the Torah and the Old Testament. They are so meticulous, they are copying the scriptures, and that they find out that the books of the Old Testament spoke of the rise of a great prophet, a Messiah, who will appear and save Israel. However, there were two distinct kinds of such prophecies in the Old Testament. See, there are two of them. They are referring to the same personality, but Israel is not know it. So, one set of the prophecies show that the Messiah has been a great king who will come and make Israel the chief nation of the world. And let's get to read one or two of those prophecies and so on. One of such prophecies indicated that the Lord will make Jerusalem his capital, and from that city, his law will go out to the whole world, and his reign will usher in an age of universal peace. That's in Isaiah 2, verse 2. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord, of the Lord's house, shall be established in the top of the mountain, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the law from Jerusalem, and he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their sword into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. See, so they wrote all the kind of they like that. So, however, it turned out that there were other seemingly contrasting, I put the word seemingly, because they're not really contrasting, really, you know. But to the human eye, to the Jew at that time, they were really contrasting other prophecies, you know. We show that when the Messiah appears, he will be meek and lowly. And here are two of those prophecies. Isaiah 6 speaking in 42 of Isaiah, verse 1 through verse 3. So we have read the one, they like that one, right? How about this one? No? Yes, to the same personality that you know that they're talking about. Isaiah 42, 1. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my elect, in whom my soul delighted. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgments to the Gentiles. He shall not cry. Isaiah 42, verse 1. 42 for Isaiah. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break. It's already bruised, right? I won't break it. And the smoking flax shall he not quench. Let me quench. You think I bring peace upon the heart? No. I don't bring peace and so on. What he defies already kindled, right? No, he told them. Anyway, so a smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment, unto truth. Another one about the loneliness of the Messiah, but he needs. He didn't want to believe this one. Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, a king coming unto thee. He is just. And having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. So we see earlier. So given these two seemingly contradicting set of prophecies, but in Isaiah, it was perhaps natural for the Jews or Israelites that they were attracted to the one that said that the Messiah will come as a king, over the other which said that he will come as a humble prophet. See, naturally speaking, right? So, to them, the Messiah will be a great conqueror who will come and drive out their enemies and restore the nation to its former glory. That's what they were really looking for, you know. They could not see that both prophecies were true, you know, and that there will be two comings of the Messiah. That's what it means, you know. And that the one set of prophecies will be fulfilled at his first coming, and the other set at his second coming. They didn't see that. Now, this is despite the fact that they have read the writings of Daniel the prophet, especially Daniel chapter 7, let me read 13 to 14. You know, I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man come with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that we shall not be destroyed. I know this prophecy was accessible to the Jews. They like that, you know, without any difficulty, because it coincided perfectly with the idea of the Messiah to them, you know. But there is another prophecy also by Daniel, the same Daniel, right, that will have made the Jews, I mean, the whole thing clear to them. And, if they believe that wrong, they would have seen everything clearly that the Bible was trying to tell them, you know. So, and that was that, for the passage. So, okay, so that prophecy is in Daniel 9:25, you know. So, what he was saying is that the time that the Messiah will come, he told them how long the Messiah will come, and how long, what time he will come, and what will happen to him. That's in Daniel 9:25. Know therefore, and understand, that from the coming forth and from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, even said it here, the prince shall be 7 weeks, and 3 score and 2 weeks. You know, and the street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. And after 3 score and 2 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. So they read these things, they liked the other one, not this one. So 500 years after the giving of this prophecy, what happened? The only Messiah the world knows anything about, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, appeared on the scene at the exact time, just 69 weeks of years, 483 years from the declaration of Cyrus, you know. So he came out on time. He didn't see it, you know. This passage indeed plainly identified the Messiah. You can't miss it unless you want to miss it. He was to be cut off, meaning that he would die at the hands of men. There was a great purpose, of course, in the death of the Messiah. What was it? He was the Lamb of God. Even in their own Hebrew religion, and their calling and so forth, that you know, that this Messiah, when he comes, you know, the the Paschal Lamb that they do in their Passover, that was a type of the real Lamb of God to come, the Messiah, Christ Jesus the Lord. He didn't say that, you know. Had the people of those days sorted this prophecy properly of Daniel, see, they would have been able to not make any mistake, and how different things would have been. But God knows what he's doing, so, and nevertheless, their mistake had been foreseen of God anyway, so it didn't just happen by that. As we are told in Acts 15:18, known unto God all his works from the beginning of the world. So God knew about all of it. It didn't go by accident or by surprise. Also, we are later to be told in the New Testament, in the Pauline Revelation, that this is all in divine providence. That they were to be blinded, that the Gentiles might be brought in. That's Romans 11:25 and for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part is happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentile be brought in. So because Israel saw the Messiah only in his glory, you see, they did not understand that he would first come in humility. They didn't see that. Live as other men lived, minister to the nation, be rejected, die, and rise again. Yet, all the prophets mentioned it, you know, like Daniel said it, he pinpointed the time that he will come, you know, for the declaration of Cyrus, he made it to when he will come, what will happen to him, you know. He even tell them, the people, the priests are called the Romans, he even name it, you know, and that, you know. The rulers did not accept Christ because they saw the Messiah only as a great warrior, you know. Although many of their people did, many people believe on the law, but not their rulers, you know. So Christ, rejected by some people, one day stood on the Mount of Olives, and he wept over it. He then predicted what will happen to the city in Luke 19:42, saying, if thou hast known, even thou, at least in this day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. See that blindness? They are hid from your eyes. No, he told them. For the days shall come upon thee, and thy enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side. And shall lay thee even with the ground, not level you up, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knowest not the time of thy visitation. The Lord went on to say, about two chapters later, in the same book of Luke, in Luke 21:20, and when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. 24th verse says, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be torn down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. See what Moses told them in the beginning? You know, it came to pass in the Assyrian captivity, came to pass in the Babylonian captivity. They see as if not believing when the Messiah comes, they're going to go into captivity again, you know? It is then God spoke to Moses, God was in Christ, right? Carrying the word unto himself. Now he told them these things, they're going to go out of this place. The only way you can get the continuity of being in this land is to be obedient to the word of God, you know? Each time they disobey, it happened to them. Anyway, this tragic event that the Lord spoke about happened 40 years later in 70 AD. We are all accustomed to that here. When after a bitter siege, Jerusalem was overthrown by the army of Titus. In fulfillment of the words of the Lord, Jerusalem was trodden of the Gentiles for nearly 1900 years, summarizing that, and the people having dispersed throughout the world. Not until 1967, was the Bible Jerusalem, the Bible Jerusalem was free from the alien rule only in the 67 war. Since that time, they were dispersed, you know. Now, let's watch what will happen again to Israel in the future. That will bring God to the spiritual restoration of Israel. You know, tonight is just like walking through quickly in summary, why, if the Lord leads in the future, we're going to leave each phase. So this brings us to the 20th century. According to Luke 21:25, just read right now, Jerusalem is back in the hands of Israel. It means that the times of the Gentiles are nearly fulfilled. That's God's time clock. You know, that's how we know our time as Gentiles, you know. And in that time, as far as we know, we are in the transitional time, you know. So church can go up anywhere, I mean any time from now, from that time. So the chastisement of the nation was not forever, as God said in the beginning. There will be a time when it will end, and the people will return to their land. Many Old Testament passages spoke not only of this return of Israel to their homeland, but of God sending a spiritual visitation to the people of Israel, you know. Now, you know, we have to keep in mind the return to their land. Don't forget the 10 tribes, you know, that we don't know where they are, but they're going to come anyway. So that they come a revival in Israel, spiritual revival. But let's look at Ezekiel 36, 26 verse. And a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, out of your flesh. And I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I give to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Skip to verse 33. Thus said the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the waste shall be builded, the Lord said. So you see the same piece of land God gave to Abraham, the same land, the same thing talking about throughout their life, throughout their, you know, their existence. 34 verse 8, and the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by. And they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and desolate and ruined cities have become fenced, and they are inhabited. So, and of course, Ezekiel 37, I won't go to that tonight because it's too much, foretold of the national resurrection of Israel. That the first 14 verses of Ezekiel 37, by the national resurrection, spiritual resurrection of Israel. So these prophecies, as I close here, that were given about 2,500 years ahead of time, started getting fulfilled in the 20th century. The Jews have indeed returned to their land. And today, as of 2019, there are 9 million Jews in Israel as of 2019, up from 2 million, only 2 million in 1960. Now, they are now back in 2 years ago, 9 million Jews according to their census, things like that, you know. So now dwell in the land of Israel. Maybe by now, I don't know, maybe 11 million. So we see for the call of Abraham, their dispersion, and what they have gone through, and just in the summary, the Lord leads in the future. We talk about what happened to them in the century when they were in captivity. What happened to them? We talk about each of those captivities as God will lead, you know. And their return to their homeland. Talk about that spiritual. God will visit them again, like Ezekiel said. Talk about all those things. Israel, past, present, and future. Just a summary introduction. And again, why are we concerned? See, there is God's time clock. We are only anointed, you know, a piece of time, you know. We are relative to them, you know. And they were the root, the bearer of We are told in the book of Romans, right? You don't bear the root bear the you Gentile believer. Praise the Lord. Now we are concerned and see what is going on amongst them. And what a tree, God's faithfulness to this people. That's to my own greatest inspiration by the Jews, you know. Undefeatable. War after war. We go through those things in the future, you know, and some of that, you know. When they were in captivity, different what happened to them. How God intervened, you know. They were still his people. They are the believer, you know. So blessed be the name of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that just as we love you at one time, he the sun will be put to shine. And all the things will happen. And we never forgot the vision of forsake them. And we, oh God, the Gentile, oh God, bride of the elect of God, we are also have, you know, a great promise for the Lord. In fact, we are more favored that my come to pass, the last has become the first. Though we are very grateful, we are very thankful, you know. That's why we pray for them. You blinded them, oh, that you may bring us in there. Way of the wild olive, grafted into the natural olive. How much more will God graft in the original olive to his own olive? So we are thankful tonight, Lord, give us an understanding of these things. And to pray for them, there is still much ahead of them in the time to come. But again, we worship you tonight, Lord. Lord, help them in all, you know, their endeavors. Right now, they are struggling. Four times, they couldn't form a government in India, you know. The sea and the waste run in India. They don't know where which way to stop. The Prime Minister just gave up now. I was forming any government right now. He thought he may be on this side, maybe on opposition, or maybe whatever he wants to be. But things are happening in India, and they are front of the news, like the prophecy said. All this telling us, Gentile elect, time is up. Be also ready. For in an hour you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Lord, help us to always be ready in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. What I say unto you, I say unto all. Amen. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus, be thou ready. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we worship and adore you. Lord, thank you for helping us to not be chained of darkness, but of light. And by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that day will not come upon us when we are. Rather, Lord, in that day, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we have confidence. When you say, come up here, Lord, I'm not to be ashamed before you. Jesus. Father, thank you. In Jesus' name, we bless your name, Father.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So I was just thinking about, so we're looking at the book of Isaiah.
Yes.